If you would, we'll turn to John 10 and then over to Psalm 23. These two passages have an important and meaningful metaphor in common, and that is the metaphor of the good shepherd, who ultimately is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll start in John chapter 10. We're going to read verses 11 through 18 and then skip over to verse 27. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. I pray that you would be truly magnified and glorified in our service this evening. I pray that you would draw us closer to you, that you would strengthen us in our faith. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each and every heart, that we might leave here more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this passage, we read about the shepherd, a metaphor here clearly used of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd, and we are the what? And we are the sheep. He is the good shepherd. The word good meaning beautiful, good, worthy. He is the worthy, the beautiful, the trustworthy shepherd. How do we know that to be the case? Because he is the shepherd who is willing to do what? To lay down his life. Excuse me, I'm back to every fourth word not coming out. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. In Jesus' case, he gave his life in order to save the lives of the sheep, being us. The hireling means the hired worker, the one who is not attached to the sheep. He's not invested in the sheep. He doesn't care as much for the sheep as he does for the money. The hireling cares only for his wage and not for the sheep. And therefore, when danger comes, what does the hireling do? Well, the hireling runs away. He runs from the danger and leaves the sheep exposed to the enemy because he is mainly concerned about himself. He doesn't care enough for the sheep to risk his life and limb for them. when Jesus spoke these words in John 10, the hireling seems to be somewhat representative of the religious leaders, many of the religious leaders of the Jews. They were in it for themselves. They cared little for the sheep. They cared more for the praise of men than the praise of God or the sheep for whom they cared. The shepherd, we read here, knows his sheep. He knows them by heart. He doesn't just know them as in, you know, that's that sheep and that's that sheep. He knows them intimately. He knows their likes and their dislikes. And he knows their weaknesses and their strengths. And I'm sure a good shepherd of sheep can tell different things about his individual sheep and know what they need. And of course, our shepherd knows what we need, and he knows us intimately and personally. He can distinguish between the sheep, and they know him, his voice, and his call. So does Jesus know his children by name and in every way, and they, unlike the rest of the world, hear his voice and respond to it because they are his sheep. We are his sheep. He mentions here another fold. They're sheep of another fold. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's speaking at this time mainly to Jews, to Hebrews. I believe he's speaking of Gentile believers, of another fold, and that the two will become what? One fold having one shepherd. What is that? Well, that is the church, made up believers of both Jew and Gentile, from every tribe and language. Romans 1:16, Paul reminds us, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We are one fold in Christ, one body in Christ, with one great and wonderful shepherd who loves all of his sheep. Jesus loved his sheep so much he laid down his life willingly for the sheep. He said, nobody takes it from me, I give it willingly. A good shepherd would protect his sheep, but he would not intentionally give his life if he didn't have to. Jesus loved us so much that he felt he had to. And so he did. We couldn't have taken it from him. He is the creator of the world. He calmed the sea with the words of his mouth. He could have called 10,000 angels, but then again, he wouldn't have needed them to come down from that cross. But he gave it willingly for the love of the sheep and the love of his Father. And he took it up again when he rose again from the what? From the dead. He gave his life, and he took it up again, proving not only his deity, but the approval of his Father in heaven. He is a shepherd who has compassion for his sheep. We see that not only in his death, we see that throughout his ministry, particularly in Matthew 9:36, when it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's how Jesus saw them. He saw them as those who desperately needed a shepherd to provide and to care and to lead and to guide and to protect them. He had just spent many days healing people in the cities. He needed rest, and he left the cities to get out in the country to seek a time of refreshment. But they followed him. And rather than getting frustrated, he looked on them with compassion, because that's just the kind of shepherd he is. Some people, when it comes to animals, have a great deal of compassion. Others maybe not quite so much. My wife has more compassion for my cats than I do. And for that, I hope they are appreciative. But the good shepherd, he loves and he cares for his sheep, and he has a deep concern and appreciation for them, as Jesus does for us. The sheep and the shepherd is an apt illustration of our relationship with the Lord. As a shepherd provides for the sheep sustenance and protection, security, guidance, discipline, love, and care. Without the shepherd, the domesticated sheep would eventually perish. We're told in Scripture, Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. But in this passage, we're reminded his sheep hear his voice, and he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. What is the difference between those that perish and those that don't? The good shepherd. He's the one that makes all the difference between the sheep that perish and the sheep that don't. The same is true eternally and spiritually. We shall never perish because of our good shepherd. This dependent, wonderful, and fulfilling relationship is also depicted in Psalm 23 by David. A king, a servant of the Lord, who knew what it was like to both be a sheep of God and also to be a good shepherd of the nation of Israel. He has an interesting perspective on what it means to be a sheep and a shepherd in Psalm 23. So let's take a moment to read together Psalm 23. Maybe we can do something a little different and read it together out loud, if you would. So, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So, this psalm is sometimes read at funerals to bring comfort. It is read in many other circumstances as well. Many Christians have memorized the words of Psalm 23. Many of you didn't have to look at all the words as you were reading, because much of it is already locked in your mind and your heart. But when you compare John 10 with Psalm 23, I think we see a lot of parallels there, depicting the relationship that we enjoy with our Savior, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Verse 1 begins with a declaration of satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment. The Lord is my shepherd, and since the Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not have discontentment. Because the Lord, not just another human being, not a ruler, but the Lord God of Israel. If you'll notice in verse 1, Lord is all capital letters. That is the personal name of God, sometimes pronounced Jehovah or other Yahweh. We're not exactly sure how it is pronounced, but we know it is his name. It is unique to him alone. It is never used of anyone but the true and living God, our Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I shall not lack. David states this, that he shall not want, not as a result of his own efforts, but despite his inability. It's not because David is a king. It's not because he is smart. It's not because he is strong. It's not because of his heritage. It's because the Lord is his what? Shepherd, that he knows that he will not lack what he needs. He shall not want. He shall not want solely because the Lord is his shepherd. The sheep who is cared for by the good shepherd shall be satisfied. So also, the life that is shepherded by Jesus Christ our Lord shall find satisfaction. We shall not want, because we have everything in one person, Jesus Christ. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And we could go on with several other quotations. But because Christ is our shepherd, we can be assured he can satisfy, he can fill the void. He can give us what we need. The rest of the psalm extrapolates in beautiful poetic form what this statement means. He begins with a declaration, and then he uses this metaphor of sheep and shepherd to describe further that beautiful relationship. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd leads his sheep to pasture where their needs are supplied, to lie down in pleasant surroundings and find refreshment beside the still waters. Still waters are easy for the sheep to drink from. You know, white water, not so easy. But still waters, much easier for the sheep to drink from. But also for their peaceful waters. We live in a world that would often be characterized as white water and storms. But in Jesus, he leads us beside the still waters. He calms our souls. He keeps in perfect peace those who trust in him. He is the God who provides, as he provided the sacrifice in Isaac's stead on Mount Moriah. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us even in the midst of bad news. He is the one who refreshes our soul. When the world tries to drain us dry, it will not succeed, especially if we're feeding from the Word of God and drawing close to the living water. The sheep do not have the eyesight of the eagle, the nose of the hound, nor the ears of a bat. The sheep does not have the claws or teeth of the bear or the lion, nor the instinct of the hunt. Nor do the sheep possess the memory or intelligence of many in the animal kingdom. The common domesticated sheep is dumb and defenseless, and without the shepherd to lead would die of thirst or starvation or many other things. The sheep requires help to find his way. And even though we would not like to admit it, particularly in the spiritual realm, we need help. For so is the plight of man. Romans 3 tells us, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Boy, that doesn't sound too positive, does it? But in order to come to the Savior, who will give us all those things that we lack, we must first realize that we're sheep that need a shepherd. We're sinners that need a what? A Savior. Humanity is riddled with sin, depraved, spiritually ignorant, dead, and uninterested in many ways. Like sheep that are scattered, all going their own way, getting lost. So is humanity, who without the good shepherd would die in their sins. But John 6:35, Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the living water, from whose cup if we should drink, we will never what? Thirst again. The bread of life who provides the words of life. In John 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you have the Son, you have what? You have life. You shall not come into condemnation, for you have passed from death unto life. That's not because of us. It's because of the what? The good shepherd who leads his own, provides for them, leads them in paths of righteousness. He does this if we will follow. He does this for those who hear his voice and respond in faith. For he is the what? He is the good shepherd. Verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides and he directs and he leads us in the right way, the right path. Sheep have a very poor sense, particularly of direction. You've seen the movies about the cats and the dogs. Not sure about the cats, but the dogs maybe. You know, and this family moved and they left their dog at this house. Or they took the dog somewhere else, miles and miles away. And they went back home. And then lo and behold, eventually the dog shows back up. 10 and 20 miles away, and the dog shows back up because it has this innate sense of direction. But would that ever happen with a sheep? The answer to that is no. The sheep can't find its way back to the fold that it left earlier in the day. The sheep can't find its way back to the pasture. They wander off in all different directions. They need the shepherd to light the way. to lead. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Left to our own devices, we're like that sheep that just wanders off and doesn't know its way home. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. And Matthew 7 tells us, there are two paths. We are challenged to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Who is the gate? The gate is Jesus Christ. Which you go in and out, you will find what? Pasture. Satisfaction. Joy. Peace. And most importantly, everlasting. Life. Life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We're told in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. Why is that so important that he direct our paths? Because we're like sheep. And on our own, we just wander off and get lost. Praise the Lord, he found us. He corralled us. He called us. And he saved us. And he's still with us today. If you do not know the way, then you must seek the one who knows how to get there. That's the Good Shepherd. I was to go to someone's house the other day. I wasn't sure how to get there. So they graciously told me. And they even decided to go with me. Make sure I didn't get lost. And that's what Jesus does for us. He is the way that leads to life. If we will trust him. I'm not sure the sheep does a whole lot of thinking. Maybe the sheep thinks it knows where it's going. But I know oftentimes we think we know where we're going, and then we find out, uh-oh, this wasn't where I intended to be. And it helps to follow the map or the GPS or the person who knows how to get there. Well, Jesus, he leads us down the righteous path to the place of reward and security, to the water, to the food, to the fold. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Good Shepherd provides security. And he takes away our fear. In his presence, we need not fear. The sheep need not be afraid of the lion or the wolf or the bear if they're with the shepherd. But if they're alone, they would surely be killed, for they have no capacity to protect themselves. But with the Good Shepherd, they're what? They're safe. They're safe. We need not fear if we're part of Jesus' flock, and he is near. Nothing can harm us. But alone, we're no match for our enemies, spiritual enemies in high places. The fiery darts of the devil and his devious devices, we would certainly succumb to, as we see so many around us destroyed. But our enemy is no match for the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who loves us so much he gave his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd who rose again from the dead. The Good Shepherd who invites us by his grace and mercy to come boldly before his throne of grace. The Good Shepherd who watches over his own, who guides us and protects us and sustains us. Alone we would certainly fall, but under his protection we are secure. When David and Joshua were little, they were sometimes afraid of the monsters in the dark. They would ask us to go where it was dark with them. Sometimes they would get scared at night and creep into our bedroom. Because they felt scared alone. They didn't know what was in the dark. But with mom and dad, they were what? They were safe and secure. And though that isn't entirely the case, it is with Jesus. We are safe and secure. The worst thing that can happen to the child of God is the best thing that can happen to the child of God. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What was Paul saying? Paul says, I don't have any reason to fear. What can they do to me? I'll just go on to my reward, and that's the better place to be. Whether death, enemies, or failure, we need not fear. If Jesus is with us, nothing can separate us from his love or his care. Joshua 1:9, God reminded Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Hebrews 13:5, we are told to be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In Matthew 28, when Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, he concluded with this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. How can we go out in security and in boldness to take the gospel to the world? Because we're not alone. The Good Shepherd leads us. The Good Shepherd protects us. The Good Shepherd sustains us. Alone there is much to fear. But with Christ, perfect love casts out what? Fear. Even his rod and his staff, they are comfort to us. Because they protect us from the enemies. They direct us back on the right path. And therefore, that which would be frightening to the enemy or to the sheep who follows a different shepherd, to us, his rod and his staff are a comfort because they protect us and keep us in the path. In verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He makes, the Good Shepherd makes David to feel secure, safe, satisfied, and even glorified in the presence of his enemies. Though his enemies may scold and maybe they're deride and mock, his Savior, his God, lifts him up. He is the lifter up of mine head, David said. He exalts the what? The humble. And we need not fear in the presence of those who would revile us for righteousness' sake. We can rejoice because our Savior, our Shepherd, is with us. And our cup runneth what? Over. Don't ever look at the world and envy what they have. They should envy what we have, because our cup runneth over in Jesus Christ. And he concludes with the statement which finishes verse 1. In verse 1, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he concludes that in verse 6, finishes it, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I shall not want, because the goodness and mercy of God are always what? Always with me, as the shepherd his sheep. I shall not want, because I have a home. It's secure. It fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me and for all those who are kept by the power of God through faith, the Good Shepherd. I shall not want. Nothing can take me out of his hand, and I shall never perish. Back in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand, out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus came and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that we might know him, that we might become part of his flock, that we might become the children of God, that we might have a place reserved in heaven for us, that we might know the eternal life in Jesus Christ that doesn't begin the day you die. It began the day you trusted Christ and was saved. And it's yours. And we're secure. All because of the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, who leads them to green pastures and beside cool waters, who guides them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, who comforts them and protects them from the enemy, who exalts them in the face of their enemies, and who has secured their home, his fold, a place of eternal rest and joy forever and ever and ever. Do you have this security today? If you know the Good Shepherd, you should. There should be no doubt. Is he your shepherd? Is he your Lord? If not, can be, if you will hear his voice and respond in faith, he will be your shepherd too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the reminder this evening of the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who cares for us despite ourselves, who directs us despite our stubbornness and thick-headedness, who is patient with us, who picks us up and carries us back to the fold when we go astray, who loves us more than any other, and who has promised never to leave or forsake us. Lord, if there is one here under the sound of my voice this evening that's yet to come to you in faith and trust you, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they hear your voice. They receive and accept you as their Savior and their Good Shepherd. And Lord, I pray amidst all of the storms and the white water around us, the tumult and the turmoil, that we would look up and see that our Shepherd is right there beside us, that we might not fear, that we might know your comfort and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.